Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, baby, it's Rouse's Football Friday. Time to kick off a big weekend of football. Glad you can join myself, Mike Haas, and WWL College and NFL football analyst Mike Dettelier for Sports Talk Special, live from the Rouse's in Metairie. 2,900 veterans. Mike already checking out some of the specials. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Good, Mike. Yeah, we're looking at everything here, but one of the big things around Thanksgiving time, you buy that spiral ham and you get that turkey for free. So
turkey's frozen, yes, just so you know.
Yeah, it's not.
Roll in here on Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, you can still do that, but you know you got to cook it, you know, every once in a while. But Nick got a lot of great specials here at Rouse's, and not only food but also spirits. And if you don't want to do any cooking, that's the other part about it at Rouse's. You can come get stuff here. You don't have to do no cooking. Just come buy it. Bring it at the house. Everybody who eat it. Man, great food here.
Bring your own containers and say, look what I did.
Man, and fast.
Unbelievable.
I slept till 10:30 this
Unbelievable.
Morning.
Unbelievable. Hey, big show coming up. It is Falcons Extremely Dislike Week. I don't know, you know, dislike. Let's go ahead. Extremely Dislike Week. And we'll talk about that.
No, it's Hate Falcons
Week. All right. You say it, not
it's
me.
It's Hate Falcons Week.
And it's going to be the first start, of course, for Tyler Shuck at Caesars Superdome. It's his third game, so we'll talk about what the black and gold need to do to win back-to-back. They haven't won back-to-back games since Week 10 and 11 last year when they beat Cleveland and Atlanta. So we look forward to that. Also talk about the latest on Lane Kiffin and the search for LSU's next football coach. Preview tomorrow's matchup with Western Kentucky in Tiger Stadium with Zach Nagy, publisher of the LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. That's at 4:35. We'll get the inside scoop on the Falcons and their slide, and we'll talk about Kirk Cousins and what they need to do. D. Orlando Ledbetter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at 5:25. At 6 o'clock, it's Frank Wilson. It's the LSU football coaches show. And at 7 o'clock, then you got a choice. You got the high school football playoff action with Ian Ozan and Coach Lou Valden for the Manning Family Children's Hospital Prep Football Roundup. That's on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app, or the Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. The Pels on the road against the Mavs tonight. Tip off at 7:30. That'll be on the Big 870. So our team today, everybody be safe. Our team is on the road. Deuce is on the road to Shreveport, where his son Curtis in Metairie Day, or Metairie Country Day, will take on Calvary Baptist. That's tonight. Also, Steve Geller is on the road.
He's in Tioga.
Rummel takes on Tioga. So our boys are on the road this afternoon and traveling. So everybody be safe. But got some good games, man. We're already. You got Carr and Jesuit tonight. Carr, of course, got the bye. Jesuit beat McDonough 35, St. Augustine, and Acadiana. That's a Tad Gormley. So
that should be a really good game, man, because Mike, I tell you this story. They come to Louisiana line camp. Okay, Coach Pete Jenkins and Coach Rod and I will run it now along with Kevin Mawai. And so they took a team picture of the St. Aug offensive defensive line. So Coach Rod come get me and said, hey, look, Valdez over there with the guys. And I'm like, what? Man, that looked like a semi-pro team. They had, I think, 18 guys, 18 took pictures. Okay, for the shirts, none of them wore anything smaller than a triple extra large.
Wow.
So I told one thing, I know when Valdez can't complain about he ain't got no size at St. Aug. And he got some players there. And Coach Valdez, for so many years, was at St. James High School. A great success there. Won some championships. And now it's St. Aug trying to revive that tradition. Because growing up, they were the bad team, man. Woo-wee, you didn't want to see them on the schedule. Hey, I see Charlie Long's daddy here.
Yeah.
Hey, he's shopping here. Listen, Charlie, I'm going to tell him to put a couple extra stuff in for you.
Spitting image.
How about that?
You, Charlie, good
job. No, he's a little shorter than Charlie. He's 6'10 and a half.
Good.
Something like
that. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, we did just in front of us. So great to see Mr. Long here. But, St. Aug, really talented team. But, my God. Mike, I haven't seen anything like what Edna Carr has since St. Aug in the 70s. And in Roe Brinelaw, we're talking about that. Because Roe covered so much of that at that time in the city. And he's like, Mike, I'm not sure. And he said, I'll be honest with you. I'll go on the record and say, I think these St. Aug teams back then were really great. But Edna Carr today could beat those teams of the 70s, and you just say, whoa.
That's saying something.
That's saying a lot. So I know Coach Valden and Ian Ozan, they do a great job covering the prep scene all across Louisiana. And they should have some satellite stuff hooked up with, Deuce over there.
Yeah.
Almost in Shreveport and, Steve, I had to explain him what Tioga was. He didn't. Mike said, I live here all this time. I never heard of Tioga, Louisiana. What? I said, man, I done been there enough. I can't explain how you get there. Good luck.
That's right.
Because them dudes there, they bad to the bone. I mean, you got some tough guys playing on Tioga. Dorummel, man, they have really built up a tremendous program there, too. Under Coach Monica.
Yep, Tioga 9-2, Rummel 7-4. The goal, of course, Caesars Superdome, Thursday, December 11th, Friday, December 12th, and Saturday, December 13th. That's the LHSAA Championship weekend. So that's 8 games. This weekend is just the Beat Atlanta weekend. It's the tomorrow night, the Atlanta Hawks, Smoothie King Center against the Pelicans, and then, of course, Sunday, the 3-7 Falcons and the 2-8 Saints. 3:25 kickoff. You can't say that enough because it's not even a 3:05. It's a 3:25. And our man Drew Brees will be doing the game for Fox. We talked to Kellen Moore this afternoon. He said he talked to Drew earlier today. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Drew came on with us Wednesday on our quarterback-to-quarterback segment at 4:35. And so Bobby tried to lay it out for him. Drew, you got to be objective. He says, I will be, but I hate the Falcons. He was to the point with it. Man, no beating around the bush.
Jeff Nowak was saying, what would be the over-under on a us or our slipping out for Drew? Right? That's what he's always said, us or our. Right? Maybe one,
and he does that on the interviews a lot, too.
That's true.
Whatever number Nowak got, I'll take the over.
That's right. Again, we are at the Rouse's Markets, 2,900 veterans. Be here till 6 o'clock. Get ready for your Thanksgiving shop and save at Rouse's for everything you need for your holiday meals. And if you'd rather just skip the cooking, like Mike said, Rouse's has complete holiday meals ready for you. Back after this, Fans in the Pro, Mike and Mike here till 6 o'clock. Come by and say hello. We're on WWL.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back, Mike and Mike. Mike Haas, Mike Dettelier for a special Fans of the Pro. We're at the Rouses on Veterans, 2900 Veterans Boulevard. Shout out to Magazine Pizza while we're here for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We'll be talking, of course, LSU and their coaching search. Tulane's got a big one. They are at Temple. Temple's still trying to get a win to get to bowl eligible. Tulane, ranked, has their own control of their destiny. If they beat Temple, beat Charlotte, and then win the AAC championship game, which they should be hosting, I would assume, at that point. Or close to it.
We'll see.
If they win out, right, it'll be close. We'll see what Navy does. And then they're in. So that's a big one for them.
All I can tell you is you go into Philly and play in Temple, they got some big dudes there, and they got a pretty talented football team at Temple.
Here's what you got to know, and you already know this. Tulane got drilled by UTSA 48-26 back on October 30th. Temple beat UTSA on October 4th, 27-21. So you want to get your team's attention? There you go. Don't take these cats lightly.
Well, thing about it is, UTSA, they're a different team when they're on the road.
Yeah.
You'd have played that in New Orleans. That might have been a different story. But, man, they are hell on wheels. Are you talking about beating them in San Antonio? Their record is just fantastic there. But Temple, and I had a neighbor that coached at Temple 1 year. He's from Inglewood, California. And he told me, man, I just coach in the South. I go to Philly. He said, it lasted 1 year. That was it. I was out of there. a big team, physical team. Their quarterback is really talented, have a big plate tight end. They can run the football. They've been a bit erratic as a team, up and down, but well, when they on, they are really good. I think this is a big, big game for Tulane to go on the road to play a really physical Temple football team.
Yep, Temple went there. They average 34.6 carries a game, and this is even behind their quarterback, Evan Simon, who's got 22 touchdown passes. That's ninth most.
They set you up
in college. So yeah,
in essence, they run it. Then all of a sudden, he goes to kind of give that little play action because you can do that because you're running the ball so well. He pulls that ball out of the belly, doof, right over the top. And so Tulane's going to have to be ready for that. And you're going to need a big game from Jake Rasseloff.
Yep.
No question.
And he's got 557 yards. He's got 11 touchdowns rushing, 12 touchdowns through the air. Tulane 5-1 in the conference, 8-2 overall. Navy 6-1 in conference, 8-2 overall. And of course, we want Tulane to win, but if for some reason they don't, go James Madison.
James Madison? Who watches James Madison unless you're betting on him? Or you Mike Hawes?
I have to say James Madison wants the show. I'm done. Still rooting for the Wave. Got to take a break. Come back. We'll talk LSU and all that's going up in Tiger Town with Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. That is after a quick break. 2900 Veterans Boulevard at the Rouses Market. Mike and Mike till 6 o'clock. Back after this. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Mike Dettelier. We're at the Rouses on Veterans Boulevard, 2900 Veterans until 6 o'clock. Come on down and just get everything you need for all of your Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's Thursday. Man, it is just flying. We're going to talk to Zach Nagy. This is an LSU update, and it's brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU search and their next head football coach, keep it locked on WWL. And Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated at ZNagy20. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me, man. It sure as heck been a chaotic week. Excited to talk a little bit of ball and obviously this coaching search with you guys.
Well, give us the lay. Just tell us. Just get it out of the way. So, because you're
yeah,
right.
Run with it. Run with it, Zach.
It hasn't been a chaotic week. It's been a chaotic month. Tell us, what is the latest?
Yeah, man, no doubt. These last, let's say, two and a half weeks have been nothing short of chaotic. As to Brian Kelly got relieved of his duties, this program, this organization, the administration, they hit the ground running for this coaching search, and they identified Lane Kiffin as that number one target on the board. This was the one that they have been searching for. This is the one that they've honed in on, and there's been a ton of traction gaining their way. If we were talking last Monday of last week, I would have told you that Ole Miss was in a really strong spot to retain him and keep him in Oxford. Fast forward to obviously the end of last week in Florida, gained a ton of steam, gained a ton of momentum. And then the end of the weekend came in, and then early this week, LSU started to bring flying in that his family hopped on a private jet arranged by LSU officials and made their way to Baton Rouge to check out the city, high schools, real estate, et cetera. And then now here we are, a couple of days later, old Lane Kiffin met with the Ole Miss administration and decided that he's going to delay this decision. He wants to coach the Egg Bowl for the Ole Miss Rebels. And so now this delays it another 8 days. We'll see what ultimately happens from here. But LSU has positioned themselves extremely well in the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes.
Zach, if I was going to stay somewhere, and I know this is an important game with the Egg Bowl and playing Mississippi State, and I'm thinking about my players now, because those are the guys that kind of busted, but, you know, all those summer, you know, workouts and everything else and film work and lifting them weights and running, I'd want to kind of relieve a little bit of that pressure on them and say, you know what, hey, guys, I'm staying. You didn't hear it. Okay, we heard it from Matt Rhule at Nebraska. We heard it from Cignetti at Indiana. He decides to stay. We've heard it from other guys that have decided that they don't want to actively be pursued by another team. Lane's different now. He's one of one. Believe me. Y'all guys are going to find out real quick if he takes that job at LSU. He's one of one. But it's a strange sort of thing to put your athletic director in, that he's got to address this and says absolutely nothing other than we'll talk about it after the Egg Bowl.
Undoubtedly,
I think the lean is toward goodbye.
Correct. It's a unique situation, and you're spot on with that. And you got to think about the players. You got to think about those within the building. And he's not really doing that right now. He's definitely open to these other opportunities, flirting with these other opportunities. Well, Ole Miss is in the midst of a historic season, man. College football playoff, they're on the cusp of it. And he's made the decision alongside Keith Carter, the Ole Miss athletics director, like you alluded to right there, that he's going to coach next week. And they'll make that decision next Saturday. All signs would point towards him departing Oxford. I feel like you said right there, if you kind of read the tea leaves, it would really point in that direction. These next 7 to 8 days are going to be absolutely fascinating once again. But LSU is feeling really strong in their pursuit of Lane Kiffin. It's definitely a unique situation, and certainly one that I have not seen in quite some time.
Yeah, one of the things, Zach, I would tell Virg Osberry, if he was sitting next to me like Mike Hoss is make sure you get that signature on that contract quick, and just make sure it ain't Grandpa Munster with that invisible ink, because man, I'm just telling you, Lane is until you know for sure, man. I've had so many people. I know I got inside information. Those are the same cats that told me 2 weeks ago. I got inside information that Nick Saban's got the job. He's just not announcing it. So that insider information is one thing, okay, and who knows where you're getting it from. My thing with Lane is you're not sure until he signs it. And that may be next weekend or whenever. More speculation, just like I think I got maybe four or five different people call me about, the word is that Coach Orgeron would be interested in joining Lane Kiffin's staff at LSU. I tell him, old news. We had Coach O on 3 weeks ago. He said the exact same thing. He went on Barstool Sports, said the exact same thing. I think it was ESPN Jacksonville. He made that same comment. It would depend on who would be the head coach. but he would certainly strongly consider it. Man, they play this like this is new news. It's old news with it. But if you know the relationship between Coach O and Lane, they were at USC together. Coach O was with the Saints for a year, left, went, joined Lane Kiffin and his dad at Tennessee. They spent 1 year in Knoxville, back at USC, and then, you know, it didn't work out real well for Lane, and Coach O took over to finish it. But that's a long-standing relationship between those two guys, and I think if he got the job, as Coach O said, I've never been officially contacted, which you can read between the lines, that officially stuff. That tie-in is there between him and Coach O.
It is. And the first part that you said right there, Mike, I love that, because Lane Kiffin is obviously a crazy cat. We know that. You want to go get that signature, and you want to lock things down as quickly as possible, because until that ink dries or whenever that signature is put on paper, oh, my goodness, he's gonna weigh all of his options. We've seen that throughout this coaching carousel in this cycle. So no doubt on that front. And then you flip the script to Ed Orgeron. Like you said, you had him on a couple of weeks ago, and I heard that. And this is a guy who has been open to really having a reunion in Baton Rouge. Having LSU stamp of approval now on this front is it's crazy. It's crazy is the best way to give it to you, Mike. And for me, who wouldn't want to have him on your staff right now? This is a guy, if his sole focus is recruiting and, of course, defensive line, you're going to be building a juggernaut. So him and Lane Kiffin's relationship, like you said, is longstanding. This is one that he's been open to for quite some time. Now you got to continue to get over that first hurdle, and that first hurdle is getting Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge. Ultimately, time will tell on that front. But, man, if you can get over that first hurdle and then get over that second one, being reuniting him with Ed Orgeron, man, you're going to be putting yourself in a really good spot here.
What are you expecting tomorrow? I'll throw it to on the field now. From Michael Van Buren, we saw him in his first start last week against Arkansas. I'll be honest with you, Zach. I thought he did a really solid job. He moved the pocket, made that big run at the end to get that first down over 30. I think it was a 35-yard run. But he didn't put the ball in harm's way. You know, again, difficulties when you get inside someone else's territory, inside the 40, to score touchdowns, you have to settle for field goals. Running attack was better, I should say, but it wasn't great. What are you expecting tomorrow? You're playing a team that's averaging over 31 points a game. So Western Kentucky can hum it. Now, defensively, sort of matzo-matzo with them, but what do you want to see improvement-wise from Michael Van Buren?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Mike. I loved what I saw from Michael Van Buren last week. And sure, it wasn't perfect. I don't think either of us are going to go out here and say that he played this flawless game. But he took care of the football. He made those intermediate throws that you want to see from him. Sure, there's still some accuracy issues for a young quarterback that's still evolving and doesn't have a quarterback's coach right now with Joe Sloan off of the staff. So this is a guy who's still evolving as a player, and he showcased that ability to extend plays, that ability to roll to his right and really get some yards on the ground, like you said, with that 30-plus yard run that he had against Arkansas. So I thought it was a solid first start, and I think it was a great way to set the foundation here in front of Tiger Stadium, his first start for LSU. I was really pleased with what I saw from Michael Van Buren, but now as you move forward into this week, it's about taking those next steps, unlocking that deep ball, trying to hit maybe a Barry and Brown, Aaron Anderson down the sideline on a 35-plus yard pass, try to extend plays and get those explosive plays intact. I think he set the foundation last week, and now you're playing against an inferior opponent in Western Kentucky. Try to take the top off. Try to see what you can do against this team. Sure, they can put points on the board, but ultimately LSU obviously is going to go out here on senior night and try to get a win in Tiger Stadium and go out with a bang on this home schedule. I'm excited to see what Van Buren can do. And then obviously you look at the defense, go out there and handle business, get a win, and put yourself in good position going into Oklahoma next week.
Just whipping through, you know, some articles today about the Western Kentucky game. And, you know, I think LSU will just eventually kind of wear them down, irrespective of how they kind of run the ball. You know, that's been, you know, a problem. And I kid you not, I saw like four headlines that said, "Can the Tigers offense finally work?" And I'm going, We have been saying that.
Wait a minute. That headline, seen this movie already.
That headline has been applicable for the last like 7 weeks. It is. It's like you feel like it's there, but then it's not there, and so it's just kind of amusing to go, my gosh, we are asking the same question, you know, right now, 10 games in. It's a senior's last game. It's the last home game of the season, and it's the same question. And I don't know the answer. I don't think LSU knows the answer.
I bet they don't run it for a ton of yardage.
Yeah.
Based off of the movie I've seen before.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we're sitting here, like you said, last home game of the year. We still don't know what this offense is truly capable of because we haven't seen them max out that potential. We haven't seen that kind of balanced offensive attack. We know that you can throw the ball a little bit. Sure, Garrett Nussmeier was hurt this year, and it wasn't necessarily the best year for him. But now you got Michael Van Buren at the helm, and you got to try to find a balanced offensive attack. I think Mike can sit with me and kind of back me on this. Harlan Berry is a just uber-talented player. Give him 15 to 18 touches this weekend. Let him unlock the ground game. Pass it to him in the backfield. Allow him to have one of those big games that we've been waiting for. But nonetheless, those headlines remain true. We have not seen this team really play to their potential offensively. Of course, you want to sit back and hope that they can do that this weekend against Western Kentucky in Tiger Stadium.
Zach, I think the big question moving forward now, and yes, I want to see Harlan Berry more. I want to see Tre'Davious Green. Come on, this ain't about plays. It's about getting it to your best players. Tre'Davious is a big-time player. From what you can gather, and I think this is going to be the $64 million question for if it's Lane Kiffin or anybody else, how many of these guys are going to stay here? Because we know all of them have representation, and they're getting calls already about leaving LSU. I think that, for me, it's not piecing together a staff and what you're going to get in other areas. It's keeping some of your core players in place. Because if you think that, okay, we LSU and all these guys are going to stay, you're kidding yourself. It's not going to happen. That new coach, he better kind of build the levee around Baton Rouge to make sure nobody escapes and goes somewhere else.
Undoubtedly. Roster retention is key this offseason for this program. That young nucleus of players that you have, it's outstanding. Whether it's Harlan Berry, DJ Pickett, Carius Kern, even Tre'Davious Green sitting as a sophomore, you have a young nucleus that really has the opportunity to take that next step this offseason and break out next year. The young players that you have are super talented. And then you can even look at a couple of upperclassmen that you want to retain and get on the field next year, that being Whit Weeks, after truly having a challenging year while battling that ankle injury and missing the back end of the schedule. So absolutely. Roster retention is critical. I know, like you said, a lot of people want to sit back and talk about the support staff that this next head coach will bring in. But then kind of step number one is locking down this roster. And again, like you said, building a wall around Baton Rouge and making sure that these guys stay. Because this new age of the transfer portal, people are going to bounce in the blink of an eye and enter that and try to go find money and chase as much as they can. But LSU has a really strong support from an NIL perspective. Make sure that these guys on your roster are handled accordingly. Lock in those key young players like a Harlan Berry and DJ Pickett, and you're going to put yourself in a really good spot for this next head coach. You have a super talented roster. It just didn't work out this year under the regime, and now you get a new one, and now you got to make sure to retain this roster. Like I said, you'll be in a pretty good spot if you can do just that.
If I had to vote for an MVP on LSU's team today, it wouldn't have to think long. Mansoor Delane. Think about him coming in and what he did. He locked down one side and said, okay, I dare you to throw it. Now, here's the thing with Green. He made that mistake near the goal line. I don't question the play. I question where you threw it because he threw it a little bit inside and, man, gave Delay that opportunity to kind of uppercut right in there and make the play. Man, what he's done this year, I think we all thought he was a good player. None of us thought he would be this type football player, and he's the best corner or even defensive back at LSU since Stingley. And I don't think there's even a debate on that. Just too damn bad you only got him for 1 year.
Absolutely. And I'll be completely transparent. When I saw Mansoor Delane ultimately sign with the team and come to Baton Rouge, I thought this was more of a Swiss Army knife in the defensive backfield, a guy who could play a couple of different spots, but wasn't necessarily spectacular at one. And boy, did he put me to shame. I mean, this is a lockdown cornerback who's cruised up NFL draft boards and is in the conversation to be the number one cornerback off the board in the 2026 NFL draft. So, yeah, Mansoor Delane came out and really hit the ground running. And I love that you said that he's in that conversation, if not is the best cornerback since Derek Stingley. His numbers speak for themselves. He shut down one side of the field routinely. And, Mike, I'll tell you, he has not been healthy. He told us that on Tuesday night. He's been dealing with a little bit of a groin injury over the last couple of weeks, but he's been playing through it and continuing to have Corey Raymond's trust to put him out there on the field. Mansoor is an absolute beast, the true MVP of this team. And I really look forward to watching him at the next level because he's evolved this year. And I think the sky's the limit for him moving forward.
I got to laugh, and we'll let you go. But Corey Raymond told me in the offseason, he was like, hey, big guy, I'm going to tell you something. If our secondary don't play good this year, you can blame that on me. I think he was trying to tell me without telling me that Delane was a lot better maybe than even he expected when he came in from Virginia Tech. Zach, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always appreciate your time and insights.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You have a good one.
All righty. Thank you, Zach. Tiger fans, keep it locked on WWL for the latest on LSU's search for the next head football coach. We'll bring you breaking news when it happens on air, online, and on social media. Also, listen to Sports Talk weekdays at 4 p.m. for your up-to-date reports, LSU insiders, expert analysis, and it's all brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU, you can count on WWL. If you have time, also, you can go on the AMFM.com and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Mike Atelier, Mike and Mike until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll remind you, sidelinepass.org, the 11th annual toy and gift drive in partnership with Gail Benson, Cam Jordan, Juwan Johnson. Tuesday, November 25th, 6 to 9, 5800 Airline Drive. That is the Saints practice facility. $10 for kids, $15 for adults, along with a new and unwrapped gift or a toy. We will talk about Scrim the Dog, My Cause, My Cleats, Saints and Falcons. A lot coming up in the second hour here at the Rouses. We're at Veterans Boulevard, 2900. Come by and say hello. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Mike and Mike here on a special edition of Fans and the Pro. The news is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.